six seasons, the Dock are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it. Terrific header. Callum Robinson. Super ball in.
Great feeling. We have to treasure these nights.
Well, hello there. Welcome along to the RT Soccer Podcast. Well, once again, it's disappointment for Ireland when it comes to qualification for a major tournament. No Euros for Ireland, penalty shootout, heartache in Bratislava, and of course COVID-19 disrupting Ireland's plans for Slovakia, and again for the low-key nil-all draw with Wales in the Nations League. So lots and lots to discuss, and we'll do so in the company of former Irish international Stephen Elliott, also Johnny McDonnell and James O'Toole. James is never shy of offering an opinion. So listen, lads, where to begin? I guess we have to start with the whole COVID experience for the Republic of Ireland, because it's dominated both the post-match of the Slovakia game and also the Welsh game in terms of the absentees. We're very conscious, as ever, that when we talk about football and COVID, that there are people who sadly have lost their lives because of COVID and families are suffering through COVID-19. So ultimately, it's only a game. But for Stephen Kenny, of course, it's his bread and butter now. He's the Irish international team manager. But the last few days have been quite extraordinary when it comes to Ireland and the whole issue of COVID. Starting, of course, Stephen, with Slovakia on Thursday night with Adam Ida and Aaron Connolly not being available and all that went with that, the travel arrangements and obviously the disappointment of losing out to Slovakia. Let's start with Slovakia and what went on over the last few days. How do you sum it up?
Yeah, I think obviously the game itself, I thought we played really well. I think on another evening we probably could have got a couple of goals. It's just kind of putting that ball in the net again. We seem to always go back to that. Who's going to start putting the ball in this ever since Robbie Keane has stopped playing international football? But I think if you look at the game overall, I think we had the best of the play. Alan Brown will be very disappointed. He didn't get on the score. She had a couple of chances. Obviously Conor Horahan got to be putting his foot through that. I think if it's on his left foot, he bursts the net with it. But again, we failed to score, and it just the penalty shootout. It's one of them things. Your heart goes out to the lads, and now it's another sad night on the penalties for us.
Yeah, and Johnny, just in terms of COVID, because obviously the Wales game was severely impacted because of COVID and the amount of absentees. You know, with one player testing positive, four more unavailable as they were deemed to be close contacts, and then obviously already without Adam Ida and Aaron Connolly. Then James McLean gets sent off during the course of the game. We've got Finland coming up on Wednesday. It's been a rough old start for Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, it's going to be a long week, Adrian. You know, obviously going to next Wednesday, going up to Finland as well. Nothing has gone to plan, I presume, I suppose. And, you know, whatever Stephen's plans that he laid out, everything has gone against him between the COVID, fellas getting sent off, missing penalties and not getting a result today. They could have done with a result today. But it must be difficult for everyone mentally, you know, because lots of the stuff is out of the control, and especially with the COVID. And Steam probably would have liked to have a look at a few players today in different positions, and he just didn't get the opportunity to do that.
James, how do you sum it up? Because it obviously is a very difficult situation, and as I mentioned, COVID is affecting everything in the world now. I guess we just have to deal with it. It's a very fragile situation, of course, but for Stephen Kenny, you know, especially in terms of the Welsh game, after the disappointment of Thursday in Bratislava, he would have liked to have, you know, used the likes of John Egan, I'm sure, Aaron Connolly, Adam Eady. He'd like to have the full complement of players available, if at all possible. So he had to mix and match, and even during the course of the game, Matt Doherty having to move to centre-half. So it's been hard on him, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think for Stephen, if it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have absolutely no luck at the moment. That's the way these couple of days have gone. Like, you're only finding out, like, you're disrupted as it is coming late back from Bratislava on Thursday evening because of obviously extra time and penalties. So you're only back late into Dublin that night. You've a rest day. You've probably got one training session with the guys, and then this morning you find out you're another five down. And that's, and then, as you said yourself, James McLean gets sent off. That's another man down now, and you've got an injury as well at the back. So it's just, it seems to be what was his dream job and what was hopefully going to be a dream start has turned into an absolute nightmare for him.
Okay. Well, let's zone in on the Welsh game, because I know so many people have discussed Slovakia and what happened and obviously the heartache of losing out on penalty kicks. The nil-all draw against Wales in the Nations League, and yet another blank for the Republic of Ireland. Three games in succession, including extra time on Thursday, without scoring a goal. They had their chances, of course. Robbie Brady in the first half. Also in the second half, big chance for Shane Long, which he failed to take. And Daryl Horgan came off the bench and had a chance as well. This was the reaction of Stephen Kenny, the Ireland manager, when he spoke to Sky Sports after the game.
I think the players gave everything in themselves. You know, I think it was, considering all that happened and losing all the players in the match day, I think all of the players that played, you know, can be extremely proud of how they performed. I felt, we're not saying it was a perfect performance. It was an evenly contested game, and we had probably the better chances overall. I think, considering the players at 120 minutes on Thursday night, flew back 6 a.m. getting back, all that went on, and we lose three centre backs today. Obviously, we lost two earlier, and Kevin Long came off early in the game, so Matt Doherty had to go in there. And I said to him, we'd have to be careful that he didn't make that position his own. But he did very well, of course, in that position, and all of the players, of course, showed great attitude and passed the ball quite well. Couldn't get that goal.
Yeah, just couldn't get that goal, and that's been the problem, Stephen, hasn't it? Getting that goal, it's been a problem for many, many years, from, you know, Trapattoni's days, and obviously through to Martin O'Neill and Mick McCarthy. Since Robbie Keane's retirement, we've missed out on that fox in the box, that player that can put half chances away or gilt-edged chances, whatever way they fall. We're crying out for that striker. Like all football teams, they all want that out-and-out striker that can gobble up a half chance, but we're badly missing one at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I think you mentioned Shane Long there. He had a big chance today to score a goal, and spoke off air with the lads there, and saying he didn't get much of the ball in the game. I don't... The way Ireland seem to be playing now under Stephen Kenny, I'm not too sure whether we'll see if everybody is available, we'll see Shane Long starting the game, because he likes to kind of play in behind the defence, kind of long balls down the side. And we didn't really do much of that today. A couple of times we'd done it, and then he looked a bit of a threat. But I think we're going to continue to play in this kind of in this new way of passing the ball and kind of bringing the forwards in. Maybe Shane Long isn't the answer up there. But again, he had a big chance today. Ball came in, great cross by Enda Stevens, and you would have kind of, if anybody was on the pitch, you would have probably put your money on Shane to kind of bury that. But it wasn't to be. And again, we're still looking for that goal. And now it's just, you're thinking Aaron Connolly, the whole kind of COVID thing with the false test, you're probably thinking Stephen Kenny is probably thinking to himself, what could have been? Because he's somebody that could potentially kind of be that goal scoring threat. I know he's been playing off central, but he can play central as well, and he knows where the goal is. So we've got to keep plugging away and we find somebody that clicks up there and starts putting them in the net for us. Because as I said, everybody can see what Stephen is trying to do with his team, and he's been disrupted. Everybody can see the disruption he's had with the COVID-19, but ultimately you need to start getting results as well. And that's kind of four games, including extra time, with just one Shane Duffy goal. It's not ideal. I'm sure he'd hoped that he would have a few more goals in his first few games, but now he's got to keep plugging away and looking at things and looking at his options. And to talk about options again, even he mentioned Matt Doherty going in a centre back there. I think that's something that he may look to in the future, because it potentially gets away of getting himself and Seamus Coleman into the team again, because Matt is somebody that he's very versatile. He can play in a lot of positions, and I think he looked very comfortable in there today. And it may be something that Stephen Kenny thinks about going forward when he has Seamus Coleman available also.
So you're suggesting he may have fallen on something almost by accident, given the cards that he was dealt, that you could foresee a situation where Matt Doherty plays in the centre of defence for the Republic, which would allow and accommodate Seamus Coleman in the team?
Yeah, possibly, because I think Matt Doherty, he hasn't played a lot at right back for his club football. He's always been a right wing back, and I think in the games he has played since Stephen Kenny's gone in as manager, he's played an awful lot higher than the rest of the defensive line, and at times it's kind of left us open down that right side. So I don't know. Listen, Matt Doherty, he's been one of our better players in the Premier League. You always want to try and get him in the team if you can, because he's full of confidence. And listen, you want players with ability playing in the team, playing at the highest level. So if Stephen's looking at that, and he even mentioned it in his post-match interview with Sky there, that you make sure you don't make that position your own, maybe that's something that he will have a think about. Because, listen, John Egan has done nothing wrong in there. Listen, John might come back in and play, but it's just another option that Stephen may have. But ultimately, I think we look okay at the back. It's obviously going forward up the other end, getting them goals is the bigger problem at the moment for Stephen Kenny.
Okay, we'll get the thoughts of Johnny on that in just a moment. But let's hear from Matt Doherty. He spoke afterwards to Sky Sports.
Yeah, it's been, especially the last few days, it's been quite challenging with the playoff defeat, which obviously went on all, felt like all night, and then obviously we flew back quite late. And then obviously all the kind of COVID stuff that's happened to us over the last 12 or so hours. So, I mean, to get today's game, and I thought we played really well, created some really good chances at times, and a bit disappointed that it ended 0-0. Look, whatever happens, whoever doesn't play, whoever's been ruled out, it's given other people opportunities to prove to the manager that they should be there.
I'm sure you weren't expecting to play most of the game as centre-half, were you?
No, I wasn't, but look, I felt quite comfortable there. I played a lot of centre-half growing up, so it was nothing that was too strange to me. I felt like I picked up the positioning well enough. I mean, I gave the ball away a few times trying to risk a few passes, but that's part and parcel of the game. You don't keep the ball 100% of the time, so... yeah, look, I really enjoyed it. Playing beside Duffy just gave me a different perspective on the game. Made me realise when I do play right back what centre half see. So maybe I won't shout at them as much when I play right back.
Johnny McDonald, would you support Stephen Elliott's call for Matt Doherty to be a central defender for the Republic of Ireland going forward?
Do you know what? He's so versatile, as Stephen said. Look, he came in today, and I was glad to see him going in there, I have to be honest. Because, you know, with Duffy on the left side, you know, his distribution is not great. You know, he's captain of the team and he's brilliant around the team. But when Matt went in there, he did give the ball away twice. That's all. I watched him very closely in the game. But you know what? He's so versatile. You know, he could get Coleman into the team. You can get Egan into the team. And I personally would try and play him in front of the two centre-halves. And Hendrick and Hourihan play in front of him. And... you know, because with Hourihan playing just as the holding midfielder, his distribution is fantastic and his passing playing between the thirds. But my problem with Hourihan is that it's defending side of it. And we do a lot of defending in where we are at the moment. And you know what? I think Matt could slot into a position as a holding midfielder, because I'm not saying he's a brilliant passer of the ball. His range of passing is really good. But his defending side of it is so... He would have a really good balance in there. And that means you would get Coleman and Egan into the team as well.
OK, so James, we now have Matt Doherty in the central defence, possibly in midfield. Please, now, you've got to follow through and say he can play up front.
I'm just wondering who... like, people have been crying out since about 2 o'clock today for a certain Shamrock Rovers player to go into that midfield. And now Johnny's already ditched him out of the squad to put a defender in there instead of him. It's a bit mental.
Well, in fairness, James, I'm putting two attacking players with Hendrick, because I thought Hendrick done well today with his forward runs. When he linked up along early on, when he got close to him, when he was getting in behind the Welsh defence, I think that's where Hendrick is at his best. But I'm just saying, with Matt Doherty sitting in front, you have two attacking players also there. Absolutely room for Jack. But the way we play, we have to do a lot of defending. We've got to do a lot of work when we don't have the ball.
This is something I looked at on Thursday night, and a lot of balls, as you're saying about Hendrick not being perfect for that role, when he has his ball, his back to play, realistically, it's easy to close him down, and he usually hits the ball one way. I remember years ago, Johnny, listening to you saying, when you're receiving a ball, open out your body no matter which way direction, because that way you can play the ball any way you want. But he doesn't seem to have that natural ability to do that. And as you said, balls in front of him might be best for Hendrick to run onto rather than have him with his back to play receiving balls.
I just felt when he linked up today with Shane Long, there was a couple of times they were very, very close today. And a little bit of combination play around the box and, you know, a little bit more of that.
Johnny, obviously, as well on social media, there was a lot of talk about Jack Byrne and the fact that he wasn't used or utilised by Stephen Kenny in the game against Wales. Why do you think Stephen decided maybe not to give him a run? And I know that perhaps he may well have come on late in the game, but for the red card for James McLean. But obviously on social media, a lot of people, especially League of Ireland fans, are saying, how come no Jack Byrne?
Well, he's obviously threw Cullen on before him, so he's obviously in front of him in the pecking order. So, you know, you need to ask Stephen that question. But, you know, it was a really good opportunity to get him into the game today. The two games we've played, Slovakia and Wales today, were very evenly matched, obviously, with the way the results went. Stephen said that in his post-match interview. He said that, you know, a very evenly, you know, even games. But you know, in them even games, you've got to win a few of them. When things are that close and that tight, you've got to go and win a few of them. But just on Jack, great opportunity to get him in today. It would have been a great opportunity to get him in. The problem is, Stephen lost on, you know, we lost on penalties on Thursday. Game is not going well from today. He's not going to take that opportunity. It's not the Jack Bourne show, you know what I mean? It's about Ireland getting a result and trying to get a result today. And Stephen is thinking about the overall and the bigger picture. And unfortunately, that's the problem for Jack, I think.
Yeah, Stephen, are you happy with what Stephen is trying to achieve? Because I suspect it may require a lot of patience from football fans. You know, it's going to take him time. And obviously, as we mentioned at the outset, all the ramifications of COVID and the impact in terms of preparations that they've had in terms of the Slovakia match and obviously now in terms of the Wales game, they're difficult situations to have to deal with. But really, in truth, people may have to show a fair degree of patience in order to give Stephen Kenny the opportunity and the time to implement the kind of football he wants to see.
Yeah, and I think that's something that he will be given. I think he'll definitely be given time. He's gone in there. I think everybody wants him to do well. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want him to do well. He's come in, he's worked ever so hard for this opportunity to manage his country. And you can even see in the few games he's played, listen, it's not been perfect. To be honest, the game against Slovakia, I feel, was probably the best performance so far. I think we were going back to that. I don't want to talk about that game again, but we probably should have won that game. But I just think you can see what he's trying to do. And I think he will be given time, although at the same time, you need to be able to get results as well, because there's going to come a time where people are going to turn around and go, okay, we can see what Stephen Kenny's trying to do. We've got this new way of playing and this and that, but eventually you've got to start winning games. And ask any manager out there, if you don't start picking up results, then the pressure will, and he'll be feeling a little bit of pressure, I'd say, himself, because that's four games now with one goal from Shane Duffy in the last minute in his fourth game, and that's a little bit of a worry. And listen, I think the fact with the whole COVID disruption, I think that will make people be a little bit more kind of patient with Stephen and what he's trying to do. And listen, I think you just need to kind of bear with him. I think at the end of the day, we're not going to magic a centre forward out of nowhere that we don't have. We need somebody that's going to build up the confidence to score and goals, whether it's one of the young lads coming through in time, Connolly, Troy Parra or Adam Ada. We don't know who that's going to be, but we need somebody to start scoring goals regularly, because I don't think we have got loads of goals in the team all over the park, like, which has been proven over the past few years. And since Shane Duffy is a top goal scorer in the last couple of years, I think with four goals from centre back, and I keep talking about it, but you would feel if he went missing through injury or something, we would miss him terribly, because he's such a threat, both clearing balls out of our box and kind of going forward. But listen, we done all right today in the game, considering the kind of changes that he had to make. I'm sure some of them lads that went home would have been starring. Connolly, for instance, he's a big miss. His energy and explosiveness, I think he gets reactions out of other people in the squad as well, the way he's direct. And it's one of them, you just got to kind of make do it. But going back to the Jack Bourne, I still think Jack Bourne needs to get away from the League of Ireland to get some to be taught about getting some regular football in the national team. I know he's done great in the League of Ireland. People will point to him playing against AC Milan when he did okay in that game. But ultimately, consistency, he's got to be playing at a higher level than what he is at the moment for Stephen to be kind of thinking about him seriously, to be making an impact in the games. And I'm not saying he could go in there and wouldn't make an impact, but I just don't see Stephen trusting him, maybe trusting isn't the right word, maybe putting him in there in such high pressure games, because obviously he just hasn't got that. I don't think he can do that at the minute. And listen, I think if it wasn't for the sending off today, we might have seen Jack for 10-15 minutes, but obviously he had to go in there, and maybe Jack isn't the right player to be putting on the pitch when you're down to 10 men, because he is a little bit of a luxury player.
Surprised on that one. Johnny, what do you reckon? Does he have to move in order to further his international career?
I think he can't get cosy here, and he can't think, yeah, I'm the best player in Ireland. I think he's got to push himself to his limits and find his level. And I know he's moved around a little bit, but I would agree that if there's another move for him, I think he should take it on board. And I'm not saying he's not working hard at Shamrock Rovers, but I think he needs to go and play at a higher league, on a higher level. And it just might give Stephen a little bit more confidence when he sees him doing it, maybe in the Championship or League One or wherever it might be, or on the continent somewhere. And I'm not saying he has to go to England, but I just looking today, as you say, the way the game went, you know, Hourihan, like, would you have Hourihan and Jack Byrne in your centre midfield? I don't think I would, you know. I don't think there's room for the two of them in there. But look, he's just been unlucky, Jack, and the point Stephen was making there, Stephen Kenny just doesn't have the wriggle room to get him in. He's focusing on trying to get his wins.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, I have to say. I think Jack Byrne, to answer your question, Adrian, that you put out there, yes, he has to leave the League of Ireland if he wants to play international football at a regular basis. Where does that move come? I think the move has to come somewhere in Europe. I think he has to go to continental Europe to fit into a side that plays the type of football that he'd like to play. I don't think the English league suits a player like Jack a lot. I think if he went back to Eredivisie or somewhere like that, I think that would suit his style of play and the way he wants to enforce his style of play on the game better than any league in the UK would be.
Yeah, and yet if he goes on against Finland and lights up the scene, we'll all be singing a different tune perhaps. We'll have to wait and see. Johnny, just in terms of COVID, and we had that business, I mentioned it a little earlier about the aeroplane and the two lads, Adam Eda and Aaron Connolly, and what went on, and, you know, guys sitting in the wrong seats and what have you. What did you make of all that? Because obviously, you know, Stephen Kenny had his particular view on things and the arrangements that were made. But as somebody who's been involved with the Faroe Islands, say, in the past, in terms of managing international football teams, there's a lot involved. But were you surprised at what transpired?
Look, there's lots of talk about different things going on, you know, the 2 metres, they were sitting in the wrong seats. You know, was it the fact that the two lads are mates and they wanted to sit together? Like, that can't happen in the COVID situation. You know, you're restricted to where you should be. The players, you know, should be in the pods. You should be away from everyone else. And, you know, it was unfortunate what happened. Did the two lads kind of say, oh, the two of us will sit over here, we're all right, we're on the plane. And they were just in contact. I don't know. Somebody else mentioned to me there was something wrong with one of the team sheets they weren't putting on. I don't know 100%. But look, something happened. The messages coming out were a little bit unclear. I'm not, as I say, 100% about what happened. Yes, there's lots of logistics and administration stuff that goes on in the background. It's not just about the 11 players out on the pitch and the subs and the bench and the manager. There's lots of work goes on behind, in, you know, for international and even for European stuff, where you're filling out forms and somebody might be suspended for one game, but you might need it for the next game. And if you don't even leave enough room for him, he won't be eligible because you didn't fill the form out properly. So there's lots of logistics stuff that can go on, and people need to be, you know, people that need to do that have to be very good at the work. And again, you know, it's just, that's their job. They're not players, they're not managers, they're not coaches. Just do your job to the best of your ability, and if everyone does it, it'll work right. So what happened, Johnny, on the plane, Johnny, I do not know, Adrian. I can't answer that question.
For me though, Stephen Kenny, if it is something kind of small and something that kind of could have been, that didn't have to happen, Stephen Kenny's got to be fuming and frustrated that two of these lads have been took out of his squad for the Slovakia game, as there is, because especially with Aaron Connolly, I think he would have made a huge difference in the game had he been available with his speed and energy. And the fact that he wasn't available to Stephen Kenny for such a huge game, a playoff game, it's got, like, it's international football, you need your big players and you need your players in form. And the fact that one of his informed players who has been playing well in the Premier League, energetic, confident, has been taken away from him, whether it's because he's set in the wrong seat, well, somebody has to be held accountable, whether that's the player's indiscipline or somebody that has seen that he was in the wrong seat and part of the staff and hasn't kind of flagged her up on the plane. I don't know. As I said, we don't know the full ins and outs, but surely if that could have been avoided, that's something that will definitely be not sitting right with Stephen Kenny at this stage.
But Stephen, you know what players, you have to sit on them. Sorry, Adrian, but Stephen, you know as a player, you have to sit on them, you have to watch them, and you know, with the COVID situation now, they should have been monitored, and somebody should have been sitting on them, watching them, making sure
the fact
they were
that
doing
young
everything
lads as well,
ticking
Johnny,
every
they're
box.
The young lads as well, do you know what I mean? They're not massively experienced.
But that's the point they're making.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Who's in this, like, when you're in the national squad, there's people there, and not that people always think footballers are stupid and they need to be kind of told exactly what to do. But it's not that football, there's staff in international squads and club squads that are there for a reason. And if you're part of that staff and you're not doing what's meant to what you're meant to be doing, then why are you actually there? So whatever's gone wrong,
that's the point.
Should have been avoided. And for me, I'm sure, like for most Irish fans, it's ludicrous that we've missed out on two potential players that could have made a difference on a night, especially obviously with Connolly.
James, what did you make of it all? Because the FEI's interim CEO, Gary Owens, has said that they'll review all elements of the travel arrangements. And of course, as well, as we now know, that in terms of the case that was at the centre of all of this, it ultimately turned out to be a negative COVID case. So the lads perhaps could have ended up playing the game in Bratislava. It's all academic now, but in terms of just the optics of it, what do you think?
I think, as the guys have said, there's people there to tell the guys what to do. These two young lads have obviously played with each other in the under-21s. They've obviously travelled with each other at the under-21 level. And I would suggest that the two of them were told, right, you two, your buddies, you two are on a row of the seats by yourselves. And just because they sat somewhere else, that's what's affected them. So I wouldn't say the players have done all that much wrong, to tell you the truth. The chances of it happened were, in fairness, considering they've been tested, I think they've been tested three times this week, haven't they? So for it to come back as a false negative test as well actually throws more of a case on UEFA than it does the FEI, because then it's a case of UEFA dictating that certain labs are used for their testing. And if this has come back like this and Ireland missed out on two players, one who was definitely going to start on Thursday night, yes, the logistics manager on the plane should have gone around everybody and went, no, you're in the wrong spot, go here, go here, go here. But, you know, that's all done and dusted now. There's no going back on it. I think today's result and the length of time it took the result to come true would be more of a worry for Stephen Kenny, because he was obviously trying to plan a match, and then this morning five players have gone from his squad. So that's even more of a worry for Stephen that this is keep on happening. I'm sure they'll be tested again today. I'm sure, I don't know if he can bring in more players before the flight away to Finland, but it's not ideal starts. But unfortunately, it's what everybody's dealing with, not just sports stars, not everybody who's living anywhere now at the moment in time has that worry of a positive test over them that could knock them out from anything for God knows how long. So, listen, they missed the football game. It's not the end of the world. As you just mentioned, we've mentioned several times, Adrian, there's been a lot worse cases than a couple of football players missing a match.
Yeah, there will be additions to the squad, Johnny, but nonetheless, there's going to be so many absentees from the squad that flew to Bratislava last week for the match in Finland. It's going to be a very different squad, it must be said, and a very tough task awaiting the Irish against Finland.
Well, Finland are doing okay. I mean, they've qualified already and the Euros, and I think it was the first time they qualified. Would it be right in saying that, Adrian?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a buzz up and around Finland, and you know, once they're at that level, everyone will want to be part of it. Everyone will be rolling in together. There'll be a big, very, very positive attitude around the place. And it's probably the last place Stephen wants to be going on a Wednesday. And it's, you know, as I said earlier, it's been a long, long week, and it's going to get longer coming into Wednesday. And Stephen's got to make up his mind now with what players he's going to try and bring in and what way he's going to set up. But Stephen said, we've won goal in four matches, Shane Duffy. And where the goals are going to come from, we don't know.
And people, of course, Johnny, as well, talking about the youth and the young players coming through and mentioning the young players coming through, the under-21s. They have a massive game on Tuesday in Pisa against Italy in their bid to qualify for the European Championships. Ireland currently topping the group, but Italy right on their coattails. And that's a huge game now for Jim Crawford.
Yeah, well, if Jim is going to, if Stephen comes along and says to Jim, I need a few players, you know, a Troy Parrott and whatever else, fellas, like, if that's going to deplete his squad and he don't qualify and we lose on Thursday, well, then it's a double whammy, a negative whammy, talking about positives and negatives, but it could turn out to be a complete disaster altogether.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, we'll leave the international scene there. In terms of the SSE or Tricity League Premier Division, Bowes, James, they've qualified for Europe. They made sure of the spot. We knew really it was coming. It was a matter of when rather than if, but an emphatic win at the weekend over Cork City. Cork still with their problems at the foot of the table, 2 points behind Finnhars. Great win for Bohemians, of course, so they're into Europe. They're guaranteed that next season. But the problems for Cork City, James, with the departure of Neil Fenn last week and Colin Healy taking charge, they're in a very, very sticky situation now.
they're in a very, very poor situation, it must be said. They didn't get, you usually get that new manager bounce. I think it was probably unfortunate for Colin Healy that he come up against the Bows team. They're playing really well at the moment. They knew that that win on Friday night would then give them European football, which is another bonus for them. But Cork really created very little. I think they had two chances in the entire game. It's difficult to see them at this moment in time getting out of those that bottom two spot. I think for Colin Healy, I think if he gets that playoff spot ahead of Finn Harps, I think that'll be his job done. But it seems to be, there's an awful lot of turmoil around Turner's Cross at the moment. You got Darragh O'Connor leaving the squad during the week. You got Neil Fenden leaving. And then you've got this €1 offer on the table from the owner of Preston for the Forest Group to consult and have a look at as well. So there's a lot of things happening off the pitch as well as on the pitch, and I don't think that's helping the squad at all with a bit of positivity around the squad.
Well, the departure of Neil Fenn was one of the big talking points of the last week in the SSE Airtricity League, and on Saturday Sport on RT Radio 1 he spoke about the reasons behind his departure to Joanne Cantwell.
I think that, you know, that we were in a position where we were struggling to get the type of players the club were expecting for the budget we had. I think that's probably where the main point of it is. I mean, where we were, the types of players we were able to bring in with the money I could spend basically was not the type of players that the club have been used to. You know, they've had a lot of success over the last two or three years, and you know, the fans and everyone down there is not used to the club struggling in certain games, and unfortunately that's what was happening.
So you just felt you didn't have the quality available to you to be able to do much better than Cork City are in the table at the moment?
No, I think that if you look at, I mean, we always say it, don't we, that, you know, with the more money you've got, the better chance you've got. So where we were is reflected really in the bottom of the bottom third of the table was where we were at in terms of budgetary wise. So it was a struggle, and I knew that going down there it was going to be a struggle. Everyone knew it would be a struggle. We were hoping that things would have worked out. We were hoping some players would have performed better. Obviously, we had a very difficult start with a couple of games early on in the season with a brand new team. And then when COVID hits, you're coming back into the season. You've got 13 games then to stay up. The players you've signed originally to play a certain way or to do a certain thing, and now you're asking them to do something else. You're asking them to try and keep the club up and scrap in a relegation battle. And that's more or less the tale of it, really.
That's Neil Fenn. Johnny McDonald, what do you make of the Cork situation?
Well, look, I think Neil summed it up fairly well there. He said they did toward lowest budget in the league. It still doesn't mean you finish toward from bottom. You get yourself organised, you get the players in that you think will get you out of that trouble, getting into the playoffs or finishing toward from bottom. The problem Neil has now is, like, he's obviously 2 points off in Harps, or Colin Healy has, he's 2 points off in Harps. Finn Harps are seasoned campaigners that down there, you know, in the playoffs and finishing second and third from bottom. And, for me, for Neil, it was always going to be a difficult job. I think he might have needed someone around him with a little bit more experience, maybe a coach that could have helped him out with a bit more experience. And, he wouldn't be used to scrapping away down the bottom of leagues, Neil. He was always a player that was with teams that were probably winning things and doing very, very well. And it's difficult when you have to go into that environment and try and scrap for points and dig out results. Like Finn Harps, you know, would get an odd win here and there, like Shelbourne getting their win last night in Waterford. So, but Cork haven't done that this season, and it looks like, you know, they didn't know how to do that. And they didn't know how to go and win a game when it was really important to get 3 points. So for Colin Healy not getting the bounce, I don't know whether the players are there for him to get the bounce, but they're running out of time.
And they have a very difficult game, of course, looming now on Tuesday against Dundalk at Turner's Cross. We mentioned the result there, James. Bohemians 3, Cork City 0. And news today that Danny Grant, we mentioned that the Irish game in Pisa against Italy, the under-21s, Danny Grant of Bohemians called up to the under-21 squad. And due recognition, really, because he's been absolutely sensational in recent weeks.
He's brilliant. He's a breath of fresh air. You see him take up positions where people much older than him wouldn't even see the gaps. His composure the other night to score his goal, his little lob over McNulty in the goal, was absolutely brilliant. But he's not he's not just the attacking force. He tracks back, he tackles, he puts it, like he gives a very, very good shift. And in fairness to Keith Long and Trevor Crawley, they've found guys like this for the last 4-5 years where people wouldn't really see much in them, but they've produced a quality footballer out of them. And it's great to see him get the recognition as Crawford calling them up into that team against Italy, because it's a massive game for the under-21s. But it's nothing more than he deserves. He's been an absolute breath of fresh air over the last couple of weeks. His hat-trick against Shelburne last week, his goal against Cork on Friday, it was just brilliant. Absolutely fantastic from him.
Super Adrian, goals, isn't it great to see the young lads getting the game time? And that would give, you know, the likes of Grant the confidence to go and play. He's got great pace as well. But with them playing and they see the pathway that Bohemians have for their young players, it just gives everyone confidence, and especially a young player being around the team, that you're going to get a chance. And by playing regularly, this is what happens.
Yeah. Stephen, you're obviously based in England these days, but do you still keep a close eye on what's going on in the leagues?
Yeah, I do. I've been obviously watching it this season. I know Shamrock Rovers look like they're going to walk away with the league this year. But no, I think the European place is probably, obviously you spoke about Finn Harps and Cork there. It's Finn Harps are always down there, aren't they? Fighting around them playoff, as has been mentioned. But I think the European places is a good little battle on. The likes of Sligo, Derry and Waterford, obviously. Shelbourne beating Waterford was a big result for Shells. But I think you need to give the Shells fans, actually, next club of mine, the fans, a little mention for their little display before sending the team bus off down Drumcondra, down Richmond Road last night. I think that was great to see. Obviously, they can't get to the games and that, but I'm sure that gave the players a lift on the way to the game.
Yeah, in case you didn't see it on social media, it was a little like you'd see an Istanbul or something ahead of one of the big derbies, loads of flares and the team bus heading off. I think one of the players, James, remarked that the smell of that, the smoke is gorgeous.
It's a bit crazy to see it, actually, because the bus had gone through the East Lincoln Hall before the flares stopped.
It was great. And a great win, Johnny, to win down in Waterford, a Waterford side pushing for Europe, of course, and Ryan Brennan coming up with the late winner.
He's a good man for getting you a goal, Ryan. He's great experience there, Ryan. And, you know, again, another lad that's been knocking around the league, but I always felt there was more in Ryan. But he's done well at Shells. He seems to have found his team there. And, you know, it's brought Shells up to 16 points. Another win that gets them up. They could end up fourth or fifth, you know. There's not much between that middle section in the league. But a big win. And, as I said, Ryan Brennan coming up with the goods. But, you know, Shells, I think the league needs a good Shelbourne there. I definitely think so. And, you know, for Shells to stay up this year would be a big, big success.
Yeah, it really is all about consolidation, isn't it, Stephen? When a team is promoted, you know, the likes of Shelburne, what is a very competitive league, and of course, crucially as well, a shortened league, just 18 matches. So they had to come back after post-lockdown and try and hit the ground running. It hasn't been all plain sailing for Shelburne, but to stay in the Premier Division, ultimately that has to be the goal. And I think Ian Morris, at the outset, he might have harboured hopes of perhaps being, you know, scrapping potentially for Europe, but the way the season and what's happened with COVID, they'll be just happy to stay in the Premier Division.
Yeah, 100%. I think even before the COVID break, you're probably looking at, when you're a promoted team, you want to build a foundation, especially a team like Shelbourne with the history of the club in the League of Ireland. You want to build that foundation where you stay in the division, and then hopefully over the course of the next few seasons, you start kind of adding that quality in time into your squad. And they've done great. Listen, some results haven't been brilliant, but they picked up some important victories, and I think they're going to stay up quite comfortably in the end. But obviously going down to Waterford last night was a great win, because Waterford have been really strong this year, especially defensively. So now it just keeps that European place kind of open up around the top of the table. But now I'm delighted to see Shells doing well. They're a club that deserve to be in the top. And like Johnny says, I think the League of Ireland needs their historically bigger clubs to be strong, to kind of make the league more worthwhile if there's going to be some financial investment in it in the future.
In the First Division, results from the weekend: Athlone Town 2, UCD 4, Cabin Teely 0, Longford Town 3, Wexford 0, Cove Ramblers 4. But Bray Wanderers still the leaders, 5 points clear at the top. Shamrock Rovers second team 0, Bray Wanderers 2. Darragh Lynch and Derek Daly with the goals. It's looking good now, Johnny, for Bray Wanderers to secure automatic promotion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's looking good. 35 points. Drogheda getting chased along by Drogheda. And Longford, you have done well to be in third position. And UCD knocking on the door there. But yeah, it's looking good for Bray. They're in the home stretch now. It's all about keeping the nerve and managing the games and keeping your feet in the ground and just making sure you get over the line.
Yeah. And your old team, Stephen, Drogheda United, right in the reckoning, right on the coattails, just 5 points down. It is a very tight first division, but they're well in the chase.
Yeah, definitely. I say Tim has been there and thereabouts the last couple of seasons, but he'll be hoping he can get the job done this year. I think we mentioned on last week's pod, the at-loan result didn't help them at all, but they got to go again. They have enough. I think they've got a decent enough squad for that division, and they look to be pushing Bray all the way. And listen, it'll make for an exciting end to the season, but I'd love to see Drogheda go up because it's a great little club.
Yeah. And a good football town, a great football town as well. In the Women's National League, Bohemians 1, Athlone Town 0. Niamh Kenna with the only goal there. Cork City 1, Galway 2. DLR Waves 0, Wexford Youths 2. Treaty United 0, Shelburne 7. And the draw for the Cup semi-finals, the Women's Cup semi-finals, took place on Game On during the course of the week. And it's Wexford Youths against Piemont United. That's a juicy one. And Cork City against Treaty United. And James, it will be quite a story if Treaty United were to make it through to the final, but Wexford Youths against Piemont is the pick of the semi-finals.
Definitely the pick of those two semis. I know we've seen these two teams in the final a lot of times in the Aviva Stadium. I think it will just be an absolute fairy tale if Treaty United get through that game against Cork. Cork have been playing quite well of late, but it'll be very tough for Treaty United. But even just to get to the semi-final stage of the competition, even though it's a reduced competition this year again, but I think it'd be great if they got there. But who would they play when they get there? Because Wexford and Piemont are two really, really good teams. I know Piemont are scoring for fun at the moment. It looks like Vanya O'Gorman putting in goals nearly every single week since they've come back, since the league started back. So it'll be an interesting two ties. And of course, the final this year has been moved to Talla. So we'll see who it is that goes out on that day in Talla in the final. I would suggest it's probably, I'm going to throw my hat in this now, unfortunately, I think it would be Cork versus Piemont.
Cork versus Piemont. You're probably right, because I think you said the Ireland-Slovakia match would go to penalties on last week's podcast, so you're always right.
I did indeed. I did say penalties last week. It came out the completely wrong end of the penalties I thought it would come out.
Yeah. Lads, just before we wrap things up, Johnny, in terms of Stephen's approach now on Wednesday, we just don't know what the absentee list is going to be in full, but you'd expect a fair few of those who travel to Bratislava now obviously won't be travelling to Finland for the game on Wednesday. So straight away, his hand is limited. In terms of going there, how important is it to get a positive result? Does he abandon this, you know, the passing game to try and get a result, not to lose the game? How does he approach it?
I think he's got to be very positive in his approach to it, you know, on a personal level and also on a level for the team. Yeah, there's brilliant opportunities now for lads coming in. If younger lads are coming in, you know, if they go and perform well, then he can trust them and he knows that he can use them in the future. So that's something that you need to be really positive about. It's been a tough week, as we said. Look, you know, the 48% of the possession against Slovakia, you know, if we can maintain that, you know, that possession in games, you should get some results. But if the games are close and even, we need to go and win them. We still need to work on our, you know, talking about set pieces, Shane Duffy scoring goals. Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, you have to be adaptable and mix it up. And, you know, looking at Shane Long today, where you look at Shane, I think Stephen mentioned earlier on, where Shane just loves it in behind. He chases everything down. You know, he knocks on his flicks on his own head, just after. So we need to be able to play it, you know, through the third from the back into good positive possession in the midfield and then penetration in the last third. If we can do that, brilliant. Get it into wide areas, get crosses in. Got a few good crosses in today, you know, with Brady coming inside and bending that in with his left foot. You know, obviously McLean won't be there. But look, we've got to be able to mix it up and he's got to be very, very positive and try and go and get a result.
Yeah. Final word from you on it, Stephen.
Yeah, I just think whoever comes in and plays, I think they've got to look at it as a big opportunity. Everybody's talking about who Stephen doesn't have available to him, but albeit the performance has improved, I don't think anybody in any of the games so far has kind of been outstanding where you'd say, oh, look at them, they're you got to play them in the team. They're doing this, they're doing that, especially in an attacking sense. So somebody comes in against Finland on Wednesday and does really, really well and creates chances and looks confident, then there's no reason why they may not continue in the team, because I think Stephen has said it's a fresh start and he's open-minded to playing whoever's in there. So I would think it's an opportunity rather than kind of a hindrance to Stephen. As I said, nobody's been outstanding. And some Finland, they're not... They've done okay in Dublin, but they're not outstanding. We can go out there and penetrate them. I think we can create chances against them. It's just, again, who's going to put these chances away when we do?
Okay. All right. Listen, we leave it there. Many thanks, as ever, to former Irish international Stephen Elliott, Johnny McDonald as well, and as ever, James O'Toole. Until next week, bye from all of us.